in prison. I have just a role to play as the rules of the National Assembly requires when the chairperson of the committee is absent, it requires that the committee must facilitate a process to elect the acting chairperson. Therefore going to play that role of facilitating the acting chairperson. Members, I will just request a nomination amongst yourselves to be the acting chairperson of this meeting. Therefore, calls for such nomination, and then we'll show by hands, by show of hands. Honorable Madlope.
Acting chair, I wish to nominate the name of Honorable Malchas to be the acting chair.
Okay. Is there any member that seconds the nomination of Honorable Malchas? Seconded, okay. Honorable Toledi seconded the nomination. Are there any further nomination? No. I therefore request Honorable Malchas to be the acting chairperson. Congratulations, Honorable Malchas, and you can come and take your seat and conduct the proceedings of today. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members, and thank you for electing me as acting chair, because I thought the honorable Masango wanted to steal my thunder today, and I asked the judge to hold back. Thanks a lot, members. I'm sorry that the chairperson, Mama Kapa, is not here today, but with our apologies, she sent an apology. I think she's not feeling well. Yes, she's not feeling well, thank you. And I would like to open this meeting. I don't think it will be a very long meeting, because what we're looking at today is the progress when it comes to foster care. And I'll let the department speak to it after we found out what are the apologies. So I'll ask them, do we just to give us apologies?
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson. I have received a couple of written apologies. One is from the Honorable Sonti, who indicated that she is not feeling well today. She's been booked off, and one for the Chairperson, as Acting Chairperson alluded to. One is from the Minister that will be joining us later. She's caught up with something, but she won't be long. Another one is from the Deputy Minister, who indicated that she is doing the recording on the World AIDS Day on the social structural drivers to the South African National AIDS Council. So I've received only such those apologies, ma'am.
Thanks a lot, Lindwe. Is the acceptance of the apology? Because I'd like to note them. In acceptance of the policy, the apologies. Thanks a lot, Honorable Polani. And I'll just want to speak. Fine, sorry. You may speak, Honorable Polani.
Chairperson, thank you. I want to address myself on the issue of the Deputy Minister. In fact, I'm having a concern. I just wanted the Secretary of the Committee to assist us. How do you invite the Deputy Minister in this meeting? Does she get the invite from ourselves or not? Or she's been copied from the Minister?
The correspondence to the department, it goes to the minister as the political head of the department, and then we CC the deputy minister as well as the DG, depending on the agenda of the meeting. If we are dealing with the issue of SASA, I'll also CC the acting CEO of SASA. In this case, they are parliamentary liaison officers. I ensure that I send the parliamentary liaison officer of the department as well as the liaison officer of the deputy minister. So she receives the correspondence every time we communicate with the department.
Thanks, Lindwe. Any other comment? Honourable Member?
No, Chair, I think we wanted to know exactly how the communication is being done to the Deputy Minister, because she really has a query that she's not invited in meeting. So I think with the understanding that we had a discussion outside the meeting with her, because we wanted to know why is she not coming to support in the departmental meeting. Then she was like grieving that she's not invited. Which then she has just answered what we said, because even ourselves the understanding is the political head is the minister, you are all invited and you CC. So she does not want to be copied. That's the understanding that we picked up from the discussion. So we just wanted to be clarified on the point. So that when you take it further, maybe perhaps she needs that special sending to only to her. But what is important is what's the protocol of Parliament? How do you send that? Because we cannot have an exception. If that's how Parliament does it, then I'll be satisfied. Then it means we'll take to another level, which is as a gift from the ANC. We have to take it to another level, because we cannot just change the protocols of Parliament just because we want them to put us. I'm sure you understand.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable
Robertson. Thank you, Chair. I hear the argument and I hear what apparently the Deputy Minister is saying. But if she wasn't invited, then why does she submit an apology? If she's been invited, she submits an apology. If she's not invited, there's no need for her to submit an apology. She is submitting apologies. She mustn't say she's not invited, otherwise she wouldn't be submitting apologies in the first place. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Member. And I'd like to thank the other two members, too, that contributed to this discussion. The matter was escalated already. That was about 3 weeks ago. But I'll escalate it again today at 12:30. Thanks. Let us close that matter. We noted what everyone said, and then we'll note, is it necessary to adopt the minutes? Not the minutes, the apologies. Or do we just note all the apologies when we... who would like to adopt the apology? Because we spoke now about Deputy Minister. Thanks, Honourable Fulani, and second.
Yeah, Chair, I want to second, although I'm not sure how are we going to second the one for the Deputy Minister, because we got an indication that he has never been invited.
Mm.
But all the time we are getting the apologies that we always query. I think as you are saying that you're going to follow up after this meeting, it's very important. But at the moment, let us accept the apology.
Thanks a lot. That's why I said we'll note the Deputy Minister and the discussion that took place. And thanks for the adoption of the apologies. I think the next step will be for the department. let us just find out who's leading the delegation before we start.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. My name is Koningo Malo. I'll be leading the delegation. I'm the acting DG this week, but I'm also with the acting CEO of FASA, who's leading the FASA team, and also Mr. Van Fred, who's leading the comprehensive social security branch within the department. So we all here to support each other in the legal section of the department.
Thanks a lot. I don't think we need an introduction, because most of the officials sitting here we know, but when it comes to our legal unit, just tell us, who are you, the legal unit? And I think there's two new officials here too. Are they the legal unit? Thank you.
I just want to check whether has she been, is there a letter that she'll be giving the delegation?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm officially appointed by the Minister to act as an acting DG for the entire week.
But is there a letter
to
that
lead?
Says that?
Yeah, the, in the committee.
I think the copy of this question in terms of how we have to do things in Parliament.
Yes.
Now you can see that Parliament is having some processes of inquiry and everything.
Mm.
You find that you will find that if this issue that we are discussing now somehow is taken to court and they realize you did not even have a letter to the committee that says that you were acting on this day, then it's a problem on us, also on yourself.
Fine, I'll just rule on it. We need the letter before we end the meeting, so someone has to just enter SMS. Thank you that we can get the letter, because it is correct. The PFMA says that there should be a letter, so let us do it legally. Thanks a lot to the Honourable Member. I just want the legal people to introduce themselves, and then I'd like to welcome, if the press is here, I would like to welcome them. Thank you.
Good morning, ma'am, and good morning, Honourable MP. I am Advocate Shirley Misser, and I work for the Legal Services section in the National Department of Social Development.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable MPs, and officials. My name is Nelly Swatakiso, Director of Child Protection at the National Department of Social Development.
Thank you for that. I think we know everyone now. Do any member want anyone to introduce themselves? No? Thanks a lot for that, Ms. Komalo. And I think let us start with the report that you're giving to us on the progress when it comes to foster care grants. Because quite a number of people sitting here from all the parties used to ask questions each time, and we just had answers, but today we are in the progress report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'll be leading the presentation, but the team will assist me in the discussions after I've done the presentation. The presentation is divided into two parts. There's a first part that speaks about the programmatic area of foster care, and then part B is about the legal issues related to foster care.
Could I just ask a question? We received a copy yesterday. Are there any changes to any of the copies that we know that before we start? Because I wouldn't like members to start picking up their hands to say they don't know where we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. We did circulate a presentation earlier, then, but today we made some rearrangements of the slides and added certain slides. So we made copies for members to refer also today. Those are the ones we brought this morning. But if you look at the information, they are just additions and rearrangement of the information itself. So members can make reference to both, but it's not necessarily overhaul of the presentation. It's the rearrangement so that there's nice flow and additional slides of statistics.
Thanks a lot. I think it's this copy here that I have in front of me, and there's a 22nd written on it, so that we don't sit with problems afterwards. Thanks a lot, Ms. Kumalo. You may start. Thank you.
Thank you. That slide that is projected is just basically the outline where I'll touch on the foster care program as it is outlined in the Act and its purpose, and I'll also talk about the North Gauteng High Court order and how we deal with the backlog in terms of the Children's Act, because as much as we have the North Gauteng High Court order, we also have the backlog in terms of the Children's Act itself, and then interventions we have put in place and challenges that we're experiencing and how we're planning to address those, and then we'll talk to the legal issues.
Thanks. Just hold me a second. So everyone has their copies now and they're satisfied. Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of this slide, I'm just giving you an overview that this is a statutory intervention program for foster care as legislated in terms of the Children's Act, 38 of 2005. Basically, it contributes to outcome 3 and 13 of the MTSF, but it targets children who are found to be in need of care and protection by the Children's Court. The purpose basically is to provide care and protection to these children by ensuring that we provide a nurturing environment, we ensure that they are safe, and there's a healthy, positive support that is provided by the professionals. It also seeks to promote the goals of permanency planning for children. The desired output of the program are to make sure that we assess the children's circumstances to ensure that the placements that we do are responsive to their needs. Placing children in foster care is done through a valid court order. We also believe that, or the intention is to ensure that we provide therapeutic and psychosocial support through planned social work intervention. And what is mostly important is to provide regular supervision for these children. Now, if I come back now to the background information when I want to zoom into the foster care orders now. As at the 4th of November, so you'll see the date we're quoting is the day in which we access the SOC pen. So as at the 4th of November, we have 478,158 children who are in foster care receiving foster child grant. Now, within that number, you find that there are valid court orders. There are court orders dealt with in terms of the North Gauteng High Court order, and there are also orders in terms of Section 176, which are the 18-year-olds, and also orders that are in terms of Section 159 of the Children's Act. So I will discuss the differences as I proceed so that members can understand where the challenges are as we speak. Now, where did the problem start? In 2010, SASSA discovered that 299,076 foster children with lapsed foster care orders were in the system receiving foster child grant. That's then in 2010. This resulted in the department being litigated then by Center for Child Law. Then a court order was issued by North Gauteng High Court on the 11th of May, and a valid order on 2 June 2011 as a transitional mechanism from the old act, which is the Child Care Act, to the provisions of the Children's Act. That order basically meant that we are allowed to extend foster care orders administratively, because by law we need every 2 years to go back to court, present a report for each placement and review so that a new order be issued. But the High Court now said, we are allowing you not to physically come back to court, but you can administratively extend these orders until 31 December 2014. That court order was implemented, but subsequently, the backlog was not reduced. Therefore, this order was extended again on the 12th of December 2014. Making same provision, allowing the department to continue to extend administratively until now, 31st December 2017, which is this year. And that court order is expiring this December 2017, that extension. I need to also explain that there were specific orders that were allowed to be administratively extended in terms of the time frame. But if I continue with the background, due to the cyclical nature of the foster care placement, that means every 2 years, in terms of Section 159 of the Children's Act, there has been an ongoing reflection of orders that are due to lapse on a monthly basis, like you are chasing a moving target. As you extend this one, the next time the other ones are... So you can't say, I've got 299, then I can clean those 299, I'm done. But you have an accumulative number in terms of court orders that need to be extended. This is observed on the orders that are affected by the North Gauteng High Court, both the 2011 and the extension in 2014. And in addition to that, there are Section 15 orders, which must also parallel be extended through the Children's Court by the very same social workers. So as much as you do the administrative extension for those that were given that specific time frame, there are others that you need to continuously go back to court as they expire. Then we came up with a project plan as a department after that to say, how then do we make sure that we deal with the backlog? MINMEC approved that project plan as far back as 2011. And we've seen positive strides in terms of implementation of this project plan to eradicate the backlog. However, eradication of the backlog has also been hindered by the fact that social workers, as I said, simultaneously, they dealt with these two processes, the North Gauteng High Court order, which is administrative, and as well as orders in terms of the Children's Act, where they were supposed to still go back to court and do extensions. In addition to that, also administrative extensions of those that are reaching the age of 18. This then indicates that when there are cases that are due to lapse and they are not resolved within that specific month, they accumulate to a backlog. So this slide, I'm basically showing the cyclical nature of foster care in terms of backlog accumulation. Now the next slide, which is slide 7, I am now talking to the specific issue of the North Gauteng High Court order. As at 4 September 2017, the North Gauteng High Court order backlog was standing at 39,102. This backlog number covers all 9 provinces. I will talk to the current situation and what we're doing with that number, because I thought it's important just to indicate the last time we accessed the number and the number we're working on to encourage provinces to clean the backlog. This is the backlog, honorable members, that must be eradicated before the 31st of November 2017 for the purposes of reporting to the North Gauteng High Court order by the end of December. We have been sending 6 monthly reports
to the North Gauteng High Court and also to the Center for Child Law in terms of the order itself. However, as their order is expiring in December, we need to send a closeout report because the court order is also expiring. In addition to the report that we need to submit to the court, we requested that provinces must submit sustainability plans to revert back to the provisions of the Children's Act, because come 31st of December, there will be no more administrative extensions. All the provinces must revert back to the provisions of the Children's Act. So we want them to submit the sustainability plan, because now they've got extraordinary measures that they're implementing to deal with the backlog. But then moving forward, they need to also tell the courts how they are going to make sure that they prevent the accumulation, or they deal with the accumulation of the backlog and the risk mitigation plans. So the due date of them submitting the report is the 7th of December 2017. I must also say that last week, Minister convened Special Minmec to also talk about this issue, where MECs committed that they are putting extraordinary measures that I will speak to later to ensure that they submit the report and clean the backlog as it is expected. But we also need to remember that as much as they are submitting the report as at 31 November, the court order itself expires 31 December. We are doing this because we want to see, come 31st November, if they've cleaned the backlog. So that if there's still two, three provinces where there are issues, we have 2 weeks or 3 weeks to still assist them to clean up. Now, I'm now going to talk about, that was the North Gauteng High Court. So if we don't comply with that previous slide, it may mean that we're in contempt of court. But now, we are talking now about backlog extensions and projected backlog in terms of the normal Children's Act court order. As I said, as much as there are those administrative extensions, there are other orders that are going to expire still in December, which are in terms of the Children's Court. So that number is 49,534. These are the orders that must still be extended simultaneously with the North Gauteng High Court order number of 39,000. So we're almost talking 88 plus court orders that need the same social workers to extend these orders, be it administratively and through court, Children's Court inquiry, by end of December. But also, I'm bringing another picture. We have done a projection that as much as by December, we will have, maybe if we clean the 88, we're projecting a backlog if they don't proceed with their intervention. Between January next year and March next year, a number that needs to be extended also by the very same social worker is 30,232. So it confirms the cyclical nature of this work that we're talking about. And this must be done through the Children's Court inquiry. Now, this slide that I have since added, it was not there in the circulated presentation. I just wanted to show where each province is as at 2 November. And I know that provinces have put measures in place. They've already made slides. I'll talk to the numbers as we have access for PEN today as to where we are now. And it is really encouraging. So the green basically shows that those provinces, we are confident that there's nothing that will prevent them to clean their backlog, both the administrative backlog and the backlog in terms of the Children's Act. The amber, we are saying the Free State and Northwest, if they put some more effort, also, we are confident that they will be able to claim. But we have three provinces where they've got the highest numbers, and you can see that They are our risk provinces. There are three. It's Gauteng, it's KZN, it's Limpopo. And the contribution there is, because even if you look at the statistics, they've got the highest number of placements. And also to say that KZN, the challenge is also the fact that there are a lot of fraudulent placements that were discovered immediately after the foster care committee, you know, did its work. So they are also cleaning and making sure that if they are untraceable, they will have to see how, with the FAFSA, they stop the payment of the grant itself, because they are struggling even to trace some of these court orders that are giving us that big number. So they are working on that to verify and check how they can make sure that these people come forward to be able to be accounted for and be extended. So those are the three main provinces, but at the last MINMEC, the three MECs confirmed that they are putting extra measures to make sure that they deal with the backlog itself. So if I can even indicate by today, you'll see the column that says backlog and projections till December 2017. It's 88,636. That 88 comes from that 39 of the North Gauteng High Court and the 49 of the Children's Act orders that need to be extended. As today, as we speak, we access SOCPEN. It gives us a number of 46,096 as today, as we speak this morning. So it's almost half that number. And we know that they've got, you know, see, they call them Matsima, where they take social workers from other districts just to zoom into high or where areas where there are high caseloads, just to clean the backlog itself. So we are confident that come end of November, we will see even better statistics in terms of the reduction of numbers, because also what you see in the SOCPEN is what has been captured. So you might find that they have been working, but the capturing is not as quick as they would like to see. So come end of November, we will see a better picture. Now, also I want to talk about what type of interventions have we put in place, both at national social development and SASA, and at the provincial level and local level. I've spoken about the foster care project plan that was approved by MINMEC, which really assisted, because the project plan has got deliverables with time frames and clear roles and responsibilities in terms of SASA, in terms of provinces, and also national, and what is it that we need to do. And we're reporting regularly to MINMEC. It's a standing agenda item at MINMEC. It's also a standing agenda item at heads of social development and other departmental structures, so that we monitor how foster care is done. But also we need to also commend the work that was done by the Ministerial Foster Care Committee, because it also contributed to the, you know, fast-tracking of review of cases and also identifying fraudulent...
Just 1 second. Because you were lagging behind, according to my time. I'm in neutral 11 o'clock.
All right. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
I'll be quick over time.
Okay. Okay. The Foster Care Committee also contributed and also made key proposals that we may consider for improving the foster care system as a whole. And those recommendations, some of them have been included in the policy that we have drafted, so that we review the legislation that is also going to make foster care user-friendly in the future. And then at that point also, I think until 2016, also SASA appointed family finders to physically visit the children that are in foster care, so that they can verify if they are in existence or not.
Honorable Matanga. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to respond to your request for Ms. Khumalo to speak faster, because I really think this is, unless there's a the pressure from to do something else. I would really like her to be given a time to present this thing, because I believe it's a very important thing. I'm sorry, Chair, but I wouldn't like her to be to feel, because we have a lot of questions because she would.
Now I'll agree with you. That's why I said I'll give her some. I'll give her overtime. Because you know, because I see she's going to speak till 11 o'clock. But I'll give some overtime, and I'll agree with you. Because we need to listen to it, but we just must not drag it. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Linda.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will continue. I must also indicate that, as I indicated, that we have a working arrangement and a coordination relationship with SASSA. In most provinces, they even assist with transport, to transport social workers to really go do work in terms of foster care. We also came up with specific monitoring and oversight visits that will assist provinces. We have joined oversight visits that we conduct with SASSA from head office level to provinces, but we also have quality assurance and monitoring of compliance of norms and standards by various units in the very same sector, so that issues of foster care are taken seriously in the provinces and supported. And then we have quarterly monitoring meetings to ensure that we get progress for foster care in our NCCPF forum meetings. As I indicated, foster care is a standing item, and MINMEC, HSDS, and other departments are structured to track progress and monitor what we do. What is also important is an integrated MNE framework that is required. Initially, it was not there, so we're saying it needs to be implemented by April. MNE and DPME, they are working on a system that will assist us moving forward, because we realize that we have a paper-based monitoring system which is not assisting us, and that will also include an electronic foster care monitoring tool, because currently we only rely on soft pen. But social workers on the ground, they need a warning system that is electronic, that will alert them a month before or 3 months before an order is about to expire, so that they can start working on it. And the time frames are also indicated. At a district level, without going into details, they also have monitoring systems where they do age analysis of backlog data on foster care, and they also have champions that are dedicated both from SASSA and DSD at the district level in terms of leading foster care. And then the SASSA colleague is the one that comes with a regular statistic to say, watch out, there's this number of court orders that are going to expire. Please, let's begin to work on them. And then in terms of intersectoral collaboration, you'll see that foster care, we have to work with Department of Justice. And we need, for especially for those that are in terms of section 159 that I indicated, that is in terms of the children's court, because social workers will only go to court when there's a sitting and when the Department of Justice has agreed to put the cases on the roll or make a provision for that. But the administrative one, at least they can do on their own. So what we're doing, at national level, we have meetings quarterly with the Department of Justice to address the implementation challenges. But we also have a special engagement with the judiciary through the magistrate forum at national level and also at the provincial level, where the heads of welfare services are meeting with their magistrates, heads of magistrates, to discuss challenges on how they can fast-track the extension of orders. And there's also regular cash flow meetings that are held among the key stakeholders, that is between the judiciary, the DSD, and other government departments, because at some stage you will need home affairs and some stage you need health, because there are some where the district surgeons are also needed to have supporting documents to assist in terms of fast-tracking the court cases.
in terms of resource allocation, with this one, I will want to spend some 5 minutes because I think we will be naive to say that we have the right resources to be able to deal with generally the challenges that we have as a country, including issues of child protection and foster care in particular. We all know we have shortages of social workers, and we know that although we do have scholarship programs, we manage to appoint certain numbers, we still have a high number of unemployed social workers, we're making strides, we're knocking in treasury's doors. We also have a challenge in terms of tools of trade, as much as provinces are trying. In some cases, you'll see that there are provinces that are beginning to buy cars, make sure that there are offices, but it's not in all provinces. That is why SASSA is also assisting in some cases in terms of cars, in terms of computers, so that they can, you know, work towards alleviating the backlog. So we still have, if the problem of social workers and social service professionals is not resolved broadly in the country, we will continuously have challenges like this in the country because we need social workers to do certain functions that will promote social cohesion, that will promote child protection, that will promote, will ensure we deal with substance abuse and all other issues that we're facing as a country. So as much as we have tried, they have just indicated the numbers that we have appointed up to so far, and those social workers have been deployed to assist in foster care, and it's still not enough. But that is why we have the Matsimas to be able to assist us, but that is not sustainable. We need more social workers and more resources. We are also doing a demand model that will tell us how many social service practitioners we're needing in each province, district, and local level. By March, we'll have a final document. Because the NDP just says we need 55,000 social service professionals, but it doesn't say how many social workers, how many child and youth care workers, how many community developers. It just says 55 broadly. So we're trying to say how many social workers do we need? How many child and youth care workers do we need? How many social auxiliary workers? Because for us to improve on monitoring and tracking of these children, you need social service practitioners. You may not need social workers per se. Social workers will come in for therapeutic and going back to court, but for monitoring and tracking and support, you will need the other categories. So I think I've spoken to this slide also in terms of the resources, but one other issue that we're struggling with also is the issue of supervisors. Because as much you may have your numbers, but you need a ratio. We have a supervision framework that proposes 1:8. But because of the shortage of social workers and the shortage of supervisors, we're not meeting that ratio. You'll find that in an office, one supervisor is supervising 40 social workers. And that supervisor also needs support himself or herself. So as much as we are putting systems in place, we need more numbers so that you alleviate the problem itself to make sure that quality reports are properly canalized, are properly submitted to court on time, there's monitoring of cases. So these are some of the initiatives that other provinces have implemented to make sure that they eradicate the backlog, as I've indicated, the numbers that they've dealt with. Others, they came up with overtime incentives so that people can work overtime even on weekends and also move from one district to another to be able to resolve the matter. This is also foster care case management, which is mostly at the district level. I may not bore you because some of the things I've already indicated. But basically we say we need to implement foster care as it is supposed to be implemented because it's an alternative care option. It's not just for monetary purposes to say, I'm a go-go, I'm staying with my grandchildren, then I must apply foster care so that I can get foster care grant. A child must be in need of care and protection, hence you put a child in foster care for protection. In terms of policy-related interventions, what is it that as a department, because that North Gauteng High Court order was also saying, we need to look at policy reform so that we ease the problem of foster care or we reform foster care as to implement it better than it is. We have a draft policy that we have finalized, which will go through approval to cabinet by March 2018, and this policy is beginning to inform what we need to see in the new legislation so that it eases the way foster care is currently interpreted. The policy position that we have proposed there covers all orphans or abandoned children who are not in need of care and protection and are in the care of relatives. Because if you also look at foster care, most of it and the backlog, it's relatives that are staying with the children, and they are, because there's no other grant that is higher than CSG, normally they prefer the foster care because it's higher, then they apply for it. So the policy position, we think it will alleviate the pressure on the foster care system, and it will also allow social workers to provide the necessary psychosocial support to these children and their families in terms of providing the support we need. Furthermore, we believe that the policy will strengthen the provision of prevention and early intervention services for vulnerable children who are not necessarily in need of care and protection as defined in Section 150. Because even if it's children who are staying with relatives, we believe they may be vulnerable. They need some support, but it may not be a monetary support. But what type of support do social service practitioners need to provide? So we clarify it also in the policy. So we're also proposing a package of services there, which is your prevention services, your partial care services, which is mainly in the drop-in centers, the access to extended child support grant, which I'll speak to later, and also assigning these professionals to really conduct regular monitoring and support to these children. The Social Assistance Amendment Bill is the one that makes provision for the extended child support grant to orphans who are in the care of their families. It will be a bit a middle ground. It will be higher than the CSG, but lower than the foster care. So we believe that this type of children will be able to ease the system and access that grant. And I'm reliably informed that the Cabinet Committee considered the amendments yesterday, and it will still go to the Cabinet for final approval. Then it can be introduced to Parliament. I'm sure this committee will then interact with the amendment. But we also say in this slide, we need to strengthen Section 186 of the Children's Act. That section speaks to permanent or long-term placement. Currently, it's not utilized. It's not palatable to the judiciary. They are saying, if you are failing to extend in 2 years, to monitor children that are placed within 2 years. If you place a child in a long-term placement, how sure are we as judiciary that this child will be monitored? So we are saying with the appointment of more professionals, we will be able to operationalize the Section 186 because it also makes sure that there's no constant going back to court. But it means we need to ensure that we have well-trained social service practitioners, because not necessarily only social workers. We need these other professionals to be able to support and monitor. But also the judiciary need now to have that mindset to say, to be convinced that they can provide an order for in terms of the Section 186. I think I've spoken to the human and capital resources. I won't repeat. But if I go to legislation in terms of implementation challenges, we are saying we have inadequate budget allocation for Regulation 56. Regulation 56 is that one of advertisement, where before you finalize placement, you need to make sure that you have advertised and no father, mother, or any next of kin that comes forward to contest the placement. And it is an expensive exercise, because if you advertise in the newspaper, we know how much is it, a small block. So some provinces are doing it quicker, some are not. So I think it's one thing that we discuss with provinces to say we need to allocate resources or even review how this can be best implemented as we review our legal framework, because it delays the implementation and the placement of children.
I've spoken about the minimal utilization of Section 186, that's the long-term placement. Intersectoral collaboration, I spoke about the positives earlier on in terms of the quarterly meetings with the judiciary. However, we still have some challenges that we need to resolve. The reluctance of some district surgeons to examine children without birth certificates. That's why I said we need health, we need home affairs, and we need justice to be able to fast track the placement of foster care or even renewal. So it's something that we are also addressing, and delayed scheduling of court dates. And sometimes, even if there are court dates, the non-appearance of our social workers, even with where the dates have been set, sometimes our social workers don't pitch up. We got those reports from the judiciary, and it's something that we also address it, because we don't have to hide it. It's happening, and the judiciary raised it at some point in terms of how then can we make sure, because when they schedule, they say we've got a lot of court sittings, so if once we schedule, we need them to be there to be able to present their cases so that they go. And also there's an issue about the varying time frame for extension. Some magistrates, they want only to extend on the day. Some, they say you can come 3 months before the expiry. So also that delays, because we want them to do it 3 months before. It makes sense. But others will say, no, but they're still valid, come on the day of the expiry. So we're also negotiating to say 3 months for us works better, because it provides an allowance and time for our social workers to have space. So this is how we say we're going to resolve these issues that I've just painted, because it's not good to raise challenges, but then how do you resolve those? So this slide basically saying we are going to utilize other professionals, we are going to continue strengthen our interactions, because I must say we have a positive support from the judiciary, even the DG of Justice, in terms of making sure that the foster care program works. We have regular meetings also with him. And then also finalize the policy, as I indicated, because it will give us that opportunity to do third and fourth amendments moving forward. Now, part B is basically the legal issues that I will speak to also. Although the legal person is here, for the purpose of time, I'll just run through. The Shelley, can you want to pick it? Okay. I'll move it away.
Thank you, Chairperson. The National Department of Social Development had drafted an affidavit with the purpose of initiating the extension of the foster care order that would expire on the 31st of December 2017. However, we subsequently discovered that constitutionally, we will not be able to induce the administrative provisions of the Child Care Act, because this act was repealed. So remember, we wanted to extend this court order, because this court order says that you could, it allows the social workers to extend these court orders administratively in terms of the Child Care Act, which is a repealed act. And hence they say no, it's only under extraordinary circumstances that we will be able to suspend Section 159 of the Children's Act, which is a current effective provision. So a decision was taken that we will not extend the court order because we felt that the provinces had an undertaking, and they provided us with implementation plan to indicate that they will manage the backlog. So if we did not extend the court order, it meant that provinces must eradicate the backlog and put in place systems to address the cyclical nature of the expiry of the court orders. And however, subsequently, the Center for Child Law proceeded to file an application on the 20th of October 2017. Now, this is the prayers in their notice of motion. They say that the failure by the first respondent, that is the minister, to prepare and introduce before Parliament amending legislation to produce a comprehensive legal solution in respect of the overburdened foster care system is unconstitutional, unlawful, and invalid, and that the failure of the state to put in place the necessary mechanisms structures and resources to ensure that the foster care system operates in a sustainable and effective manner is also unconstitutional, unlawful, and invalid. Now, as you can see, Prayer 1 requires the implementation of a comprehensive legal solution. Now, what is a comprehensive legal solution that we are talking about? And this requires, firstly, the amendments to the Children's Act and the amendments to the Social Assistance Act. I will take you through the amendments proposed. So if you look at the Children's Act, the following sections need to be amended. Section 150 of the Children's Act, which must be amended to read as follows, has been abandoned or orphaned and is without visible means of support. That part must be deleted, and has no family member caring for him or her. Now, as you may know, that the Second Amendment already addresses the deletion of is without visible means of support, because that particular phrase they felt was vague and hence was subject to multiple interpretations. Hence that part has been deleted, and that was replaced with does not have the ability to support himself or herself, and such inability is readily apparent. So this is what the Second Amendment is saying. Now, Section 150, subsection 2, is the other section that requires an amendment. And if you look at this particular section, it contains a list of categories of children who may be in need of care and protection. Now, amendment to Section 150, subsection 2, is to add to that list of the children who may be in need of care and protection the following: a child who is orphaned or abandoned and has a family member caring for him or her. It is anticipated that this amendment places orphaned and abandoned children who are living with relatives on the list of those who may be in need of care and protection. Without the automatic assumption that they are in need of care and protection, such children will then not be taken through the court processes unless there are other reasons to believe that they are in need of care and protection, for example, if they are abused and neglected, and hence we are saying that this might alleviate the pressure on the foster care system. The department has already drafted the Third Amendment to the Children's Act, and this was also presented at the Child Protection Forum, which the applicants, that is the Center for Child Law, had also attended. There is a view that these amendments, the amendments now that I'm talking about in the Children's Act and the Social Assistance Act, must be separated from the Third Amendment to expedite the process, because the Third Amendment is voluminous, and the Third Amendment will take too long because it needs to be split into sections 75 and 76 as it spans both provinces as well as the national competencies. And the department will be pursuing the relevant amendments separately in order to expedite the process. Now, the amendment to the Social Assistance Act that is required, as Acting DG has alluded to earlier, was in Cabinet and it is ready to be introduced in Parliament. And the amendment includes all orphans, double orphans, single, it includes everyone. And there is general support for this amendment. With regards to the extended child support, introducing the extended child support grant. Prayer 2 affects the provinces, and all 9 provinces have agreed to abide with this application by the Centre for Child Law, and this matter will be heard in court on the 28th of November 2017, that is next week, Tuesday. I thank you, Assembly Chairperson.
You may just conclude, then I'll ask Sasha, are there other people that you'd like to add? And then I'll ask the minister to speak. You may switch off your mic, and I'd like to welcome the minister to this meeting. You are welcome, Minister. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think we just want to recommend that the Portfolio Committee notes the report in terms of the progress we're making and the plans and the systems we have put in place to be able to deal with the foster care
reform in the backlog itself. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ms. Kumalo. Are there any additions, you know, perhaps from SASA side or from anyone that would like to add stuff? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. All our inputs were incorporated in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for that. I would like the Minister just to give us a broad overview.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honourable members, and social development and SASA managers. Chairperson, I think this gives us an opportunity to explain the work that we have been doing when it comes to foster care, so that we can be at the same level of understanding, but also it provides us with an opportunity of hearing from the committee about other proposals that we can put in our processes right now, so as to try and fast-track this process. But what is more important is that the foster child grant is used wrongly presently, because it's supposed to be used for alternative care. I think Connie has also explained that it's for children in need of care and protection. We've tried to respond to that, because we think people opt for foster care because it has more money. And also, we end up having families that cannot adopt the children of their next of kin because of the standard of living. And children end up staying on their own. And that is why we've set the extended child support grant has to be legislated. And at the beginning we thought it was going to be for orphans that do not have both parents, but we've agreed that it's going to cover all orphans. But over and above that, the MINMEC has taken this issue very seriously. And what we've done so as to ensure that we still have a space to maneuver up until the end of the year is that by the end of the month, everyone must start preparing a report, and that it's submitted on the 7th of December, so that we go through all the areas that are a challenge. One other disadvantage that we have now is that the family finders that SASA had employed are no longer there. They were temporary, but we think it would be good if we continue with our strategy of having a one ward
one social worker, because it would be a much more easier to deal with such issues. But also it would be good to have someone in a ward paying a visit to children under a foster care timely, because it's also important to check their conditions where they stay. We lastly would like to say we also have a challenge when it comes to the absorption of social workers. I think Connie has addressed this matter. And the issue is, with all departments that have a workforce, they on a yearly basis absorb new people. And no one is leaving the system. And sometimes those that get affected are the ones that have more personnel that was not controlled from the White Hall. But at some stage, as social development, we're told to scrape for money. And that in itself is a challenge. So we think we have to raise our unhappiness about that, because all others, police on a yearly basis, nurses, teachers, and many other government officials are recruited or absorbed. And therefore, we have a number that we have to reach in order to be able to have a proper functioning social development at a grassroots level. Because also, if you give more work to social workers, they end up not in a good state, because they don't even find time to debrief. But one other thing, where do we think we are going to get time to advance our interventions? Because also in social work, you have what is called a case studies. And case studies are used to advance the work and the interventions we do at a grassroots level. But with a few social workers, you find out that there are good interventions, but that cannot be turned into case studies. So that should be kept in mind. Much as we are going to have a monitoring tool, the monitoring tool will not always go to the kids and check their conditions. It's just a technical mechanism that we want to use so that we can be up to speed with reporting. But social development in its nature has to deal with warm bodies. We always where our people are. But we hope that with the number we are at now, by the end of the year, we would have completed the number that is supposed to be finalized. And I think Connie also spoke about the issue of that whilst we finalize this cycle, there will be a new cycle kicking in. which means that this is going to be a vicious cycle up until we find a lasting solution to the challenges. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks a lot, Minister. I must thank the department. I'll recognize you now, everyone. I must thank the department for this comprehensive report and, you know, and telling us what is the progress, because this is a long-awaited report from you. I'll open it to questions now. We'll start here at the top. I'll take Dr. Ms. Lopez. I'll take Ms. Abrams. I'll take, Honorable Bongi. I'll take, Honorable Schwester. I almost forgot your surname today. Honorable Masango. And then I think it's Honorable Wilson. And then I'll take, Honorable Bulani last, Mahosi. Thanks a lot. Let us start. I won't give the number yet. I'll just listen quickly. Yeah. You may, Doctor.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Greetings to our minister and the colleagues. Thanks for the presentation by the acting DG. I think it really gives the clarity, on, especially to myself as a new person in this committee, to see how far we are. I want to check, there is an indication that in the previous act, it empowers the department to do the extension. Yeah, and now the challenge is that it does it through the court. What I want to ascertain, what are the financial implications on this? If it is done now through the court, not by the department. And secondly, on the same note, if there are financial implications or budgetary constraints that affect the department, have the department actually tried to apply for the extra budget to the National Treasury around that particular matter? Because I can see that it can give a constraint to the department, financial or budgetary, around that particular matter. Secondly, there is an indication of the backlog, and the acting DG talks to especially to three provinces that have got high numbers: Limpopo, KwaZulu Natal, and the other one. But my focus is in KwaZulu Natal. You indicated, I see that they've got a big backlog. What I want to ascertain there is that you indicated that some of the challenges of KwaZulu-Natal is the fact that the others, they are untraceable at the moment after the process that the department engaged in to try and find out whether are they existing, those foster grant beneficiaries. You indicated it's like on slide number 9. You indicated this backlog. What I want to check: how many out of 38,157 backlogs the province is still tracing? Because you said others, they know exactly these are the people, but the number is inflated because there are people that are untraceable in that particular number. But what I want to get is, what will happen if they end up not getting those that they are still tracing? I'm saying that because we have put there is a deadline to say that by December they must, you know, have dealt with this particular backlog. You know, what will happen? How long they have been tracing this number that they can't get? I know that the department engaged in trying to get these beneficiaries that were not there, you know,
they succeeded actually to get a lot of people that ran away in that. But if there are still so many people that are untraced, it raises a concern to say that maybe there are still people that are chowing the government money that are illegitimate, that are not legitimate. The other one, Chair, in the spirit of cooperative governance, the acting DG and the minister indicated the constraint they are having around the people that are supposed to assist, because even those that were identified to assist, they were temporal, now they are no more there. But the people that you are looking for are under the municipalities. What is your relationship, working relations, with the CDWs, ward committees, ward councillors, municipalities, as well as the traditional leaders, because now they have got existing offices that if you trace, maybe it can be easy, especially at a local government level, because they have got the statistics of their local people where they are. If maybe you haven't started working with them, one will suggest that, Honorable Minister, through the Chair, maybe you start to engage with the local government in the spirit of cooperative government, so that we can't just work as province, national, but leave the local government, who has got the constituency. They are working with these people day to day. The last one, Chair, the last one, so that I can allow the others. There was a report from the department indicating that in various provinces they have set up a fully fledged alternative care unit focusing on the provision of foster care and child, youth and youth care centers. I want to know, because we are talking about the backlog, but also their offices, what we want to check, where are these offices, in which provinces? Because we said some. We did not say all the provinces have got it, so that we can see whether they are giving they are assisting the department to really deal with the backlogs and so on. Thanks, Chair. Maybe I will come back.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Member.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister, officials. Thank you
very
much.
I'm keeping it at four questions.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. Yes. Mine, I'll start from the back on page 27, the legal representative. I just need clarity on, you've mentioned there that the Third Amendment will take too long and it will be split into Section 75 and 76. And also, the department will be suing the relevant amendments separately to expedite the process. What's the legal implications if this is done on that question? And also, Chairperson, how does the department handle the cases where foster parents fail to approach SASSA for submitting the extension order? The ministers mentioned that the family finders are not in use. I had a few questions around that because it was in the presentation, but I will leave that out. Then also, what measures are in place for lack of documentation for non-South African children? Then an action plan was submitted, also the legal person mentioned that, and in seven provinces was submitted in 2011. What happened to the other two provinces, because they also attended, but they didn't submit their required action plans? Why did they attend if they weren't participating? Did they participate? You didn't say that in the document, but you mentioned it, part of it. Okay. How frequently are the foster care revised to see that all beneficiaries are legitimate and not wait until it's sometimes too much to handle? And you mentioned also that social workers don't pitch at court. What is the consequences if they don't pitch at court? And 9,316 graduates since 2007. And the department has absorbed 5,516. What happened to the 3,800? I know the minister mentioned that many are absorbed. How do we retain these social workers and make sure that they stay there? Because when you speak out in the communities, everybody wants to be a social worker, and they say they're struggling to get a bursary. Well, I recommend and say that they should apply, because we are looking for social workers. Thank you.
Chairperson, I don't know how we are going to approach this, because it's a lot of questions already.
Yes.
One would have assumed that. Can I finish what I'm saying? Chairperson, please. One was assuming that maybe perhaps for all the questions, because this is an important matter that we are dealing with, other than burdening the department with a lot of questions at the same time, perhaps we should come with a strategy whereby when questions are asked, then they are responded to those questions. Because already if you take four questions from us, we are four times eight, it's a lot of questions. That's what I'm observing. But nevertheless, you are the chair, you are chairing the meeting. So Chair, let me welcome the presentation. But in welcoming a chair, I just want to be upfront to express my disappointment. I'm highly disappointed, because now when you look at this, when you sit down and we have this presentation, it just adds on the perception that is created about us, the department, outside, that we are a department that is being run by courts. For us, in order to deliver services to South Africans, the vulnerable people, court has to come in, and then we deliver those services, which for me really, it's not right. Because I believe that minister, the department, I'm not going to talk about the ministry, because it's something that oversees. Now I'm going to talk about the department, because most of the time we fail to talk about the department. We always have to go to the ministry and point the fingers to the ministry, other than dealing with the actual people who are supposed to be advising, to be implementing, to be giving advice to the minister. We always have to, we fail, really. We are failing the South Africans. We are failing them, because there is a court order that was issued almost 6 years ago. And today we still find one thing. When we are about now to get to the end, after we expire under the court order, we come and we still say there are those children that the provinces cannot trace, or that they need to trace, or otherwise. I'm disappointed. Even the strategies that have been put forward shouldn't be the strategies that have been put forward by the officials in 2011, court order. Because if you really want to implement the court order, 2011 they could have put all those strategies. Let me just cite a simple thing. The amendment of the Children's Act. Who is supposed to advise the minister on that? It's official on amending the act. We amended this act last year, the Children's Amendment Act, I think 2015. One would have assumed that this is important, it should have been included there, because there is a court order based on this. But we are coming and saying we need to amend. Why didn't we amend it? When you look at page 24, it says exactly, it's unfortunate, because on page 24 it will say, It says the failure of the first respondent, which is the minister, to prepare and introduce before Parliament. Who has to assist the minister in making sure that that has to be prepared and submitted to Parliament? Who are supposed to be the people who have to do that work? Unless you'll be telling me that the minister refused at that time, then it's something else. But you are the ones that are supposed to advise her that there is this that needs to be done. And that has not been done, Chairperson. Up until now, we can read that on page 24. Because, unfortunately, you can go to the first respondent in court, because but what are you saying? Who are supposed to be doing this paid work and taking it to that office? I'm really, really disappointed, Chairperson, because apparently people are not doing their work. When I was in the legislature, there was one chairperson who always advised the premier that just fire everybody and start the department afresh. Maybe perhaps things will go well. Because people forget their responsibilities. They forget why are they supposed to be here as practitioners. Because I take it that people who are in social development are practitioners. They're social workers. There's everybody who's supposed to be there.
I don't know whether a teacher like myself, I can be there and be given a work that should be done by a social worker. That also, it comes, I think Connie, when he was making a presentation, he said that the issue of non-appearance of social workers, it's an outcry, Minister, out there. They don't appear even when they are supposed to go and see. We struggle when we do our constituency work to ask them to come and see some of the families and assist. And assist. You really struggle. I've got a video, I can send it to here to you, of one family that is really struggling with an issue of a foster care grant. They are even struggling with a child support grant. And we tried to get social workers there, but it's a problem. So I did not get it, the sense of how are we then dealing with it. We cannot treat some of these things with soft gloves. If a person fails to do her job, that person should just exit the system. We need public servants of the future who are going to implement what is requested by this government. Not public servants who just feel that I'm not going to go there, then it's fine. No. Somebody has to act. We have to start from somewhere. If social workers are not doing their work, then why do we have them in the system, those who are already in the system, whereas there are thousands outside in the system who are hungry to get in the system and do their work? While we're still on the issue of the social workers and the shortages, you know, we visited KZN, I think it was July, August, Minister. And we were very impressed by the presentation that was given to us by the KZN on the issue of the social workers, because in that province, they don't have shortage of social workers. And they seem to be moving towards implementing the vision of having one social worker per ward. I don't know then in terms of the social foster grant, how are they really dealing with that? But I think we need to learn from other provinces. If provinces are not doing well, let them go to other provinces and try to do well in those provinces. The other thing, on the issue of the statistics, especially the statistics that are coming from provinces, I'm not sure how accurate are those statistics and how do you monitor whether they are giving you the right information on the statistics. Because it's not provinces that have been taken to court. It's a national department. And coupled with that, what is going to happen? I think Honorable Matopa has asked that. What if on the 31st of December, then the provinces still fail to clean up their system and tell you how, whether they will have managed to achieve the issue of a backlog or not. On that one. The last one, Chair, is on the issue of the... I wrote a lot of things, Chair, but then... Oh, the other issue that I could not get it exactly from the legal people, they said the act that is repealed, but she never explained which act are we talking about that is repealed. Because if, and then if we are dealing with an act that is being repealed, it means Sebenza is doing the call. Because once the act is repealed, it means it's non-existent anymore. And how can we work on the act that is in non-existence? Why we need to effect or to enact a new act based on that? Can I get an answer in that one? Because I did not get it. Which act are they talking about that is a repeal? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. What I'm going to do, because I think there's about 15 questions, I'm going to ask the department just to answer these, because some of these questions are interrelated to. And then, once the department is completed, then I'll go to Honorable Yuster. Let me do Honorable Yuster going as far as Honorable Masotsi. And then we'll, those that have follow-ups, just write it down, thank you. Mrs. Kamala, will you say how they're going to do everything?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I'll deal with certain questions and the legal colleague will also assist in terms of the legal questions. In terms of the first question, what empowered us to extend administratively is the High Court order, not the current act. The High Court order was in line with the previous Child Care Act, the old one.
So we were given an opportunity to administratively extend as sort of a transitional measure, because the Children's Act was also kicking in at that time. It was a new act to address the backlog, that number of 299, to say go and extend it administratively. Because as our legal official said, that act is repealed because there's a new act. But however, the court said, you can still use the provisions of the old one for you to administratively, so that you don't go physically to courts to request for the children's court to extend. Now, whether the financial implications, in terms of the provisions of the Children's Act, there are huge financial implications in terms of making sure that we have enough social workers, we have enough social service practitioners, we have enough tools of trade to assist these social workers to visit and even to capture their information in terms of laptops and also cell phones, to be in contact with the children and the families themselves. If we look, you do an analysis of the budget of broadly child protection, it has been growing steadily, not much. Because even when this act was promulgated, there was a proper costing done. However, the funds or the resources were not allocated for the department to be able to implement the legislation fully in terms of the resources that the costing was saying. Social development, you need, for instance, 16,000 social workers to just implement child protection. That never materialized. However, I made reference to the scholarship program, which was broadly implemented, which also made an input in terms of increasing social workers in the sector, of which we also allocated to child protection. In terms of backlog, there was a question of KZN and the numbers. When I presented, there was a slide which had colors. In that slide, at that time, they had 38,157, for instance, KZN is one of the provinces that is behind. But as I speak today, they are already at 19,697 in terms of now dealing with the backlog. What I'm unable to do is to indicate which out of that number, which ones are still untraceable, which ones, so it's a combined number, it includes all those. But what we agreed with the province is for them, between SASSA and DSD, to sit down and say, how do they stop? Because the only way you can get a person who is untraceable, if he's still alive, is to stop the grant. Then allow, I think there's a way in which SASSA is doing it in terms of time frame, so that the person can come forward within a time frame to say, I am alive, or I'm, you know, authentic, here I am, and then they can check the documentation. So that was what KZN agreed to go and implement with SASSA. So we're going to get a report by end of November as to how has that yielded any result. But if I look at the numbers, it shows that since last week and now, it means there's a lot of orders that are being dealt with, because they've moved from 38 to 19. What will happen if they're untraceable? I think it's a matter of cutting or stopping the grant itself. I think the issue of cooperative governance is an issue that we'll continuously explore. As I indicated, we need other social service professionals to come on board. However, we also need to be cautious, because we're dealing with children. We need people who understand the children's rights and the Children's Act itself. So if anyone comes on board, we need to have a proper training to be able to make sure that children's rights are not violated in the process. That is why, as I was presenting, I was talking about child and youth care workers, social auxiliary workers that are already trained and they are registering with the council. Because if anything goes wrong with a child, you are able to report to the council to say, children's rights have been violated, or the social service practitioner has violated his or her obligation. In terms of the fully fledged alternative care unit, currently we have those in Mpumalanga, Western Cape, Northern Cape, and Gauteng is in the process. And if you go back to that slide of colors, the provinces where they've got alternative care units, are the ones that are doing better. They are green if you look at them. Mpumalanga, Western Cape and Northern Cape, they are green in that side. It's because they've got a dedicated capacity to be able to deal with issues of alternative care, which includes foster care as a program. Eastern Cape and Gauteng, they are also finalizing it, because Eastern Cape also is doing very well. They are also at that stage. Then I think the next question is around the clarity on the Third Amendment, which legal will deal with, and what will be the legal implications. What happens if social workers don't pitch? Ideally, they need to be recourse, because it's like relegation of your own duties, because you can't. And in fact, it's also a contempt of court. If you have been invited to court and you don't pitch, ideally you should be charged. The magistrate can also call you to order in terms of subpoenaing you to appear, because you have violated. So I was mentioning it because we are also saying as a department we don't have scheduled court dates, but where they are scheduled dates, they need to be honored so that justice can be encouraged, that we are available and we are willing to use the opportunity. What is happening with absorption of social workers? Yes, we have a backlog of almost 3,000 that we are not able to employ. So that's the gap, that's the number that we are unable to employ. We have managed to employ this year also with a grant, but still we have a backlog. So we are continuously looking for creative ways, because what we have done, we have cut the scholarship money to be able to appoint a certain number this year, because there was no additional funding coming from Treasury. So we applied to Treasury to say, can we cut the scholarship so that we pause a bit, so that we use the money, 181 million, to appoint social workers. So we've already appointed 566 in a conditional grant. They made it a conditional grant to all the 9 provinces so that we are able to appoint social workers. The question number 3, yes, the perception that we are run by the court. I must say, the Second Amendment, if you look at them, when the advocate Mesa was presenting, the Second Amendment already deal with the proposal that the applicant has made to the court. These proposals of 2 amendments has been made by the Center for Child Law. So we are also saying in the first proposal that is already covered with the Second Amendment that the committee has finalized. The only wording that may need to change is the second proposal that also Shelley will speak to. But I must also say broadly that in terms of the overall legal reform, we have been busy with the policy. The policy is already finalized because, as Shelley said, we have drafted the broader Third Amendment. It looks at all areas that are a gap in the Children's Act. Because as much as today we're dealing with foster care, there are issues around adoption, there are issues around other areas. So we have looked comprehensively at the Children's Act and the areas where we need to amend. We were almost at the process of processing those amendments, Third Amendments. But then the leader of government business said, hey, hold on, bring us a policy first that amends this section. So that's what delayed us the last 3 years, because now we had to say we pack the Third Amendments and then we start now with the development of the policy, which is already finalized and is going through approval processes. We hope Cabinet in the first quarter of the year next year will consider it and finally approve it. And then we take the process of processing the Third Amendments and the Fourth Amendments forward. I think Shelley will explain why we said in the presentation we might want to fast-track that proposal of amendment. But this legal reform also, honorable members, goes with the amendment of the social assistance, which is, I said, it's already considered yesterday. It's awaiting the final approval by the full cabinet so that it can be introduced to parliament. It's part of the legal reform that the North Gauteng High Court also requested the social development to do. I think
Shelley, maybe can deal with the legal question.
There was one question on how, you know, that before it goes to legal, how accurate is the statistics you're giving to us? And then also speaking to the monitoring thereof. Because I think it's important to answer.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We are currently using SOCPEN. That's why if you look at my presentation, we're quoting SOCPEN, because that's the most credible electronic system that is used in SASSA. However, I spoke also about an electronic warning system that the social workers will do. So we compare the information that comes from the provinces and what SOCPEN is saying, so that it is benchmarked against what the SOCPEN is saying, because these are physical grants that are on the system that are being paid as we. And those meetings that I spoke to say at a district level, they've got verification meetings to look at statistics from social development and statistics from SOCPEN to be able to reconcile the numbers. That's why we make sure that whatever we put on paper is from SOCPEN, because it's a credible system.
Thanks a lot. Our legal person. Our legal
person. Thank you, Chairperson. I think Acting DG has covered most of the issues. With regards to the Third Amendment, as we indicated that there is a need to fast-track those provisions that affect the implementation of the foster care or affects the addressing of the backlogs of the foster care grants. And so the legal implication of that would be if we separate it from the bigger Third Amendment, it means that it would just go faster through the processes, because it would then be a smaller version, it would be a smaller amendment that needs to be made. So it means that those sections, the amendment to those sections will come into effect before the rest of the Third Amendment. So in effect, the smaller amendment that we're going to do becomes the Third Amendment, and then now we will have the Fourth Amendment, which is the voluminous review of it, almost to the, you know, the entire Children's Act. Then the review of the Children's Act actually started in 2012, and the amendments were ready by 2015, and as the Acting DG said, that it's awaiting a policy, and hence the delay in processing this particular amendment. Then there was a question as to what happens on the 31st of December if the departments don't, extend the foster care grants. The court order that is being pursued, which is going to be presented before court next week, actually makes provision for an automatic extension for a period of 24 months should departments not be able to meet this particular backlog. Thank you, Chairperson.
If there are follow-ups, just write them down, because I'd like to start with the others. With whom must I start firstly? Honourable Yuesta.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the presentation. I think it is very important for us to be very clear on what really is the cause of the backlog. And I think the Honourable Minister actually referred to that, in that the main cause of this backlog is not the cyclical nature of foster care grants. It is the inequity in the system and the large gap in financial value between the child grant and the foster care grant. And that is causing the backlogs. Because the child grant is 380 rand and the foster care grant is more than double, it's 920 rand, we simply have too many children accessing the system, and the system wasn't designed to cater for so many children. I mean, there's currently about 500,000 children on the system. I mean, we have, I'm not entirely sure, but around 5 million orphans. And then, according to your own research, 1 in 3 children are, you know, sexually abused. So there's more and more children that are going to have to access the system. And, I mean, I don't know if we're really going to have a solution in 2 years' time then, because the backlog, it's a continuous problem. I really think that the only real sustainable solution out of this would be to align the child grant and the foster care grant. Personally, I don't agree with the extended child grant policy or reform that the department wants to make, and I really want to urge the department to maybe just think about it some more, because it really is doing the very thing that is that caused the problem in the first place, because now still children that are living with their relatives will get more money than children that are living with their parents, and all children are poor, you know, so it really is unjust. And I mean, surely I know that economically it's going tough in our country, but Minister, I mean, I cannot see how it cannot be possible to increase the child grant and to make sure that the difference between the foster care grant and the child grant is minimal. This will solve the problem. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Yosta. I would like to go to Honourable Masanga.
Thank you, Chair. Also, Chair, I'm more informed now than I was, which is why I really wanted this presentation to be given time to be presented, not in a rush way. So I'm in a situation where I have more questions as I have received more information, as it were. My questions have been covered by the colleagues that have spoken before, but I just want to make a point that says we really need, and it is in confirmation of what has already been said by colleagues, we really need to get out of a situation where we are reacting to stuff, where we are reacting to court orders, we are reacting to people saying stuff, and because then we don't work on in our own pace, we are driven by outside forces, and even in that, if we're talking 2010 of the Centre for Child Law, and we are 2017, and we are having a situation where we do not have the comprehensive legal reform that was asked for by the court, by the High Court, then we're in trouble, because then it means we need to react to that now and be giving extension after extension after extension. And my situation is this. Here is my challenge, is that the 299.076 orders that had lapsed, and they were paid. I think the presentation said they were actually paid, so there was no problem. Children were still getting their money, did I understand it well? That they were paid even though they had lapsed. This is what the presentation said, that Center for Child Law said you were paying children whose orders had lapsed. That is what I think the presentation said anyway. So the reason why I'm saying that is because had that not happened, had we not been taken to court, how many would we be having today? Because it doesn't say anywhere in the presentation that we were just doing what we were supposed to do, but we were not doing it fast enough. It sounds like they were just piling up, and nothing was being done until the Center for Child Law came into the picture, and now we are working, we are on the back foot and responding to the Center for Child Law. And this is my wish, that we would go to an extent where, to a situation where we are the ones that are determining how we are going to do the work. Because right now, I can tell you now, and I think the presentation says as well, that all we've been doing is deal with the backlog. We have not done anything about what is coming in after the backlog. Because I was trying to divide 299,000 by 7 years, and it's 37,000 or something, which means that we actually have not even started to deal with what has been coming into the SOC pen since the Center for Child Law got onto our case. So that's just a comment. But Chairperson, also what I would like to know is that these amendments that are being proposed, and we are requested to look at them and talk to them and recommend and do all sorts of things, how do they link because my thought was, when I was listening to the presentation, it was like the 2 year of expiry is what is the problem. Because then the system cannot, we don't have enough social workers, and we are burdening the courts, children's courts, to consider these things, because you need to have a court order before you can do something. So how are the amendments that we are talking about dealing with that particular aspect of this whole problem? Because then we might do well with the law amendment, but we may not actually deal with the actual problem. Because the cyclical nature of the expiries and all those things, that's how I understood this thing to be going on. So I would like to be helped as far as that is concerned, because even if I didn't understand it well, then I would like some explanation, as it were. And maybe to go back to why we needed the 2 years to monitor and to go back and reapply or something. I hear that we were saying that it's going to be a permanent thing, and the judiciary is not happy with that. But I am really, my issue here is for us to regaining the control over how this department is does its work. That it doesn't do the work because of the court having said something. Because also my other question was going to be, when these laws are being sent on these processes where they need to be, end up being assented and then implemented, do we even cost them for us to know that at least we don't have the resources to implement this thing and not set ourselves up for failure in the end? Because even the plan, the 2011 project plan, was it even costed? What happened to the costings? And I just feel that we are trapped here as a department. And it just, I don't know, Chair. Those are my questions and comments and everything in between. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Wilson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of what I wanted to raise has been covered by my colleagues ahead of me. My concern is this, and my colleague Bridget Masangu alluded to that, this department is entirely reactive. Everything is reactive. None of it is proactive. We are permanently in one entity or another, whether it be in the department, whether it be in an entity, whether it be in a specialized unit, are reacting to court orders and not being proactive in solving problems before they actually arrive. And that is a concern, because then we are working perpetually under pressure and within time frames. And the moment that situation arises, a whole lot of things go wrong. People start to take shortcuts. They start to bypass the systems, they start to make mistakes, and you start to get an awful lot of dishonesty while people cover their backsides for not doing what they should have done or how they should have done it properly in the first place. And I think I must commend Connie on this presentation. And I commend you, the presentation's sad. In fact, it's bad. Not the presentation itself. What you're telling us is sad. But I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty because I think it's one of the first times in a very long time that we've come to a portfolio meeting and got upright honesty saying, okay, we have a huge problem. This is not going according to plan. We're not meeting our targets. We don't have the budgets. We don't have this. We don't have that. And we don't have the other thing. And until such time as that begins to happen on a more regular basis, we as a portfolio are not able to get involved, make recommendations, or properly oversight our roles. So honesty is important because it helps us as a portfolio, and we don't want to be going back to court to hear that the portfolio did not do its role. So, Connie, for that, I appreciate it. But in your presentation, you talk it should have been done by social workers, 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 but we don't have enough social workers. This we've known for a long time. We've been here since 2014. I think we've raised it every single quarter. What does concern me is yes, we know that there's a shortage of social worker, and the minister alluded to say that we're still on strategy for one ward, one social worker. Well, every strategy has a plan, or it has a Gantt chart or a proper project outline in place. Minister, I'd like to know when we can get that, because since 2014 we've heard that all the time, and while we are slowly absorbing the odd number of social workers, that is helping a little bit. But in saying that that's helping a little bit, we also have NGOs closing on a monthly basis. Now, you're observing social worker graduates. NGOs are being forced to close, and these are NGOs who deal with statutory matters, like foster care, like child abuse, with social workers who are going into, by orders of the court, to assess these situations. Those NGOs, due to underfunding, who haven't seen increases in 10 years, who've had their funding cut, are closing down, putting more social workers on the street. So we're actually not solving a problem. In many ways, we're compounding a situation. We're not looking at the big picture. That is a concern for me. And these are people like child welfare, family care centres, the SABF. They all play a huge role. What is the role of NGOs is to support the government, to assist us in making sure that a lot of what we have to discuss gets done. And they are closing. So I don't want to get too carried away that, yay, yuppie-doo, we are employing social workers. We're employing on this side, and we're losing a whole lot on this side. We are losing their position. So we're in a catch-22 situation. And what we are hearing right from beginning to end, we don't have the budget, we don't have the budget, we don't have the resources, we don't have the tools of trade, we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have the next thing. That has been the flow of throughout this this presentation. That means we have a very severe budgeting problem. We have a severe budgeting problem. And the minister, with all due respect, is the number one accounting officer, and this presentation does not make you look good. We cannot be spending 100 million rand on travel when social workers who play a critical role in the protection of the poor and vulnerable children in this country do not have the resources to go and check on them, do not have the resources to manage the job, and let children fall through the cracks. I think really we need to have a look at the budgeting that is going on in this department, because we need to get the priorities. This portfolio, along with the minister and the DGs and AGs, need to get the priorities correct. And the priority for this portfolio is the protection of the poor and vulnerable. And if we have to make adjustments to make sure that they come first, which is our job, then that is what we must do. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot for that. I'll go to Honourable Mahotsi, and then I'll ask the department to answer, then we'll get follow-up.
Chair, my name is short. To the department, maybe I need a SRIT, or I needed maybe to be educated. Does the department do the research in terms of any presentation that you are bringing to us? Why I'm saying this? South African population is plus minus 53.7 million. Out of that, 18.5 million are children. On 18.5 million, it's estimated that 3.7 million are orphans. Vis-a-vis plus minus 478 that is getting the foster care grant. It shows that there's a problem. There's a problem. When you're doing the research, whoever that is doing your research, he's not or she's not doing well in terms of sampling. Because before you're doing that, your human development capacity needs to be the target that you use in terms of any sampling that you're doing. What are you saying about that? Because the state SA is there to give us the state every year. Is the department taking what the state SA is saying? or did the department once go to the State SA and ask them, can you please give us the numbers, the stats of the orphans in South Africa? Never done that. Because if these numbers are like this, we are doing injustice to the poor children that are there who are not getting anything. And it's a crime of humanity. And what are we saying in terms of the human rights as members of parliament sitting here? We cannot run what Honorable Zeledi said, the court must run us, but they are doing that. Chair, I don't, that's something I don't have too many questions. My question lies in terms of the state. What are you saying with this? Because in a presentation you said the scoping is good in terms of data and everything. Did they ever thought of getting deeper? Kids doesn't have, we know that South Africa HIV AIDS is the highest rate, and we know that most of the kids did lose their parents due to that. And this other stat that you can even Google, it's there. 3.7 million orphans, but only 478 plus minus are receiving the foster care grant. We are not doing well. I think maybe, Chair, I need to recommend that the department need to have a technical committee only to deal with the issue of foster care grants. This issue makes some of us not to sleep at night because our neighbors, our communities, our members of families, some members of the community, our honorable members, Honorable Zaled is taking care of the child that is disabled. You know, when I talked to her earlier, she nearly cried. So these are the things that are facing us. What are we saying? So let the department, you recommend the department that come with a technical team that will deal only with the issue of foster care grant. Because if the number is high like this, it's for us as this committee to recommend even if to Treasury or to call Treasury here to say, if you can fund the police, you can fund everybody every year. What are you saying about these young kids? You know, Chair, so these are the recommendations that one will put. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Well, Ms. Kumala, will you answer, please? And then you can just say, oh, well.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
That's fine. I think we all passed the budget. Yes, we all understand it. And the weakness that has been brought to our attention, that we are trying to look carefully into, is moving money from other programs to other programs. That is number one. So when it comes to budgeting, we go and a bit, and we depend on the amount that we get from the treasury. And if the committee wants to raise the issues of the budget with the treasury, I think it must do so. And one other issue, I really don't want to talk about other departments. Almost all departments are taken to court for different reasons. And not that I want to compete with them. But, for instance, when it comes to this issue, we had to kick in the new law, and the reason the court ended up being involved in this was that children were going to be compromised. And actually, there is a question that was not answered of the amount we pay the Justice Department for the work that is done there. And then, again, there is a big difference between the child support grant and the foster child grant. So, the foster child grant is a special grant. And then at some stage, I think we faltered and allowed people to use it for other reasons. And we have to take ourselves out of that situation. The amount for children, again, I think we every year we present our bids. But at the end of the day, it's the main combat that decides that this department is responsible or is going to get so much money, or you would say your issues are an emergency, and you would be told that no, these issues are not an emergency. I'm not trying to justify myself, but it's not fair to blame people for things that we all know their processes. Because before you get money, it goes through a process. You also accept the budget in Parliament. So that for me is a very important. Provinces do have a plan for the recruitment of social workers. For instance, Northwest, I think now on Mpumalanga have covered all the wards. So they do have plans. You can't be a government official and not have a plan. If you want to call provinces, call them here so that they account. They must come and account on their programs. So, and if you want to ask questions, also ask us to come here and answer those questions based on the issues that you want to raise. You cannot write and bring in other issues because you want to prove the inefficiency of the minister. If you go to court, you will see how much other departments pay those that are sued, and then compare them with the Department of Social Development. Because you can't just base your strong statements on information that has not been researched. But one other thing is that at all times we base our information on research. Most of the time we use SSA's information, but sometimes when there are special issues, we work with other agencies. For instance, we work more with the UN, UNICEF, when it comes to children, because they specialize on that. And yes, the child support grant looks very little, but we are paying more than 11 million children. And also, that's important. So, with the issue of provinces who cannot trace some of the children, I think in one case, KwaZulu-Natal acted where you would have a mother getting pregnant, having a child, going to clinic, attending clinic, giving birth to a child, and then having a birth certificate, and then coming to SASSA to register, and then go through the magistrate's court, and then the child falls under our system. And then we found out that actually that a full value chain is concocted. There are no warm bodies here. We have a case in KwaZulu-Natal of children that were put under foster care, and when we followed them, we actually found out that they were no longer in South Africa. And when we tried to raise the case, I don't want to talk about officials that you think are very senior and respectable, but at the end of the day, find out that no, it's not like that. The magistrate that was dealing with the case was changed quickly, and they brought someone else who tried to close the case, and we had to fight fiercely to follow the children, and had to go to the higher structures. So not that we don't have problems. We do have problems, and we do follow some of the very sensitive cases. We do our work. But the fact of the matter is that if we don't have a full complement, I'm hearing us saying that is an old song. Yes, if it is an old song, what have we done to try and ensure that the old song does not continue? There are matters that have been considered by the Finance and Fiscal Commission that have not been implemented because they have to go through the committee. So I think we need to share responsibility some times. The bursary thing, we had to rob Peter to pay Paul, because it is called a grant, but we took the money for the recruitment of more social workers and turned it around, suggested that it be used for the absorption of social workers. And if we continuously do that, we're going to end up not recruiting social workers. But also, we must understand that over and above the social workers that we are funding, there are those that were taken to school by their parents or by their families. They also have a problem. They are sitting at home, and we want all of them to be employed. And that is why even provinces have added some numbers in what the bursary scheme had paid. Travel money, I think when we presented our report, those issues were raised so that we look into them. But I must also say that traveling has gone drastically down in the department. We only attend important meetings where we play a role as social development, and unfortunately, social development has a lot of work to do in the region as well as with the international instruments. If you can analyze meetings we are attending, it is meetings that have to do with our work. Lastly, Jefferson, at some stage I would like us to discuss the issue of statutory work that is done by NPOs. Because when you start an NPO, you also raise funds. Now, is it not maybe proper for us to think differently and say all statutory work must come back to government so that we can be able to account properly for each and every cent that we use as government? Because if we are giving a budget, we try and distribute equally. And again, we must ensure that we have evidence of what we are saying. Is the amount bigger with other NGOs and smaller with other NGOs, or is it a par? And the amount of work that NGOs are doing is very important. So if there is a haircut, it's there in all the departments. We all know that there is a haircut in social development, and NGOs are not going to get an increment. They are going to get their support on the basis of what we have as the department. I thought Chairperson, I should raise those issues.
Good. All right. Thanks, Connie.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. The Minister has touched on some of the responses. May I deal with the issue of the department maybe being reactive and not proactive in some of these issues, whether we are really reactive to the issue of Center for Child Law. I must also say that Center for Child Law is one of the organizations that we work with on a daily basis, and they sit in our forum, the National Child Care and Protection Forum. So they have all the information where we present what we do, we present our challenges, we present gaps, we present what we do. So hence, they are the first, or they are having the opportunity to have all the information, because you, in a meeting, you don't hide, you talk to your stakeholders about what you're doing. So I'm coming to the issue of we are not reacting to them. We have been presenting at that forum our plan and how we are doing in terms of moving forward. The project plan that was developed in 2011, it's got short-term, medium-term, and long-term. In the short term, we said, this is how we're going to deal with the backlog. Medium term, we were going to deal with systemic issues that are contributing to our system not working well. Then long term, it's a comprehensive legal solution that we are also talking about today. So we have been reporting. They're fully aware where we are, what have been the challenges, and that the department was not sitting. And the acknowledgement of also the fiscal space that the country overall is facing, because we are operating in a bigger a government space where you may not be allocated resources as you wish. If we had our way, we could have received additional resources, so we could be talking a different story today. However, I want to indicate to the committee that provinces really had to reprioritize from their own current baseline to be able to implement the project plan. Hence, you see the reduction you are seeing today, because they didn't get necessarily an additional allocation to implement this issue. Whether the bills were costed, I need to indicate on record that there's no bill that passed cabinet without a costing report. That indicates three major scenarios. Scenario one is the lowest cost, the medium cost, and the high cost. To say if you go full-blown, what is it that you need? If you implement certain provisions and park certain, what is the amount? And if you implement bare minimum, what is the amount? Those things are presented. That's why I also made reference of 16,000 social workers. When this Children's Act was costed then, before even the changes that we have as a country in terms of violence and all, it was saying we need 16,000 social workers just to deal with child protection, not other programs, just child protection. But we never received money. We received money only for the scholarship, but not necessarily for the appointment of those six. So it's some of the things that the department has done or still persisting, because we didn't keep quiet since then. Every year we submit a bit to Treasury to say we still need more social workers, we still need money for tools of trade, we still need money to fight substance abuse, we still need money to fight violence. And I think the committee can see some of the pockets of allocations, even those small, that are beginning to deal with certain specific areas that we have also submitted to Treasury. So I just wanted to just clarify the issue of reactive versus proactiveness. We may look reactive now because we have to respond. If there's a court, there's a litigation, you have to speak to it and say this is how we are going to deal with it. But we have been doing our work, but the cyclical nature and systemic mechanism issue of foster care is what we're also trying to address in the policy itself, because some of the systemic issues is how the foster care as an alternative option is viewed within the current provisions. That is why we say moving forward that would be resolved. And it's not necessarily that is the force that is coming from Center for Child Law. It's something that as a department we initiated a child protection review system. The report is available, it can be shared with the committee, which begins to tell the department and the sector this is how we need to broadly protect our children in the country. And it's got various elements on how we need to move forward, not just focusing on foster care. Foster care is the end result, because if certain system is not working, then children have to be put in a protective environment, which is an alternative care. So if we deal with those, we'll have lesser numbers that are requiring a foster care placement. The other area that I want to deal with is just to confirm that we do work with steps, I think Minister also alluded to that, to also say we do evaluation studies. Currently we are busy with the implementation evaluation study on foster care itself, because we also want an evidence that says these are the challenges to confirm what we know or what we are currently having. And we also know that out of the 53 million, 18.6 are children, which is 35% of the total population. It's from the SSA, and it's also confirmed by the Child Protection System Review. So, and we know where the concentration is. You'll see even in the foster care, KZN also has the highest number of children. Limpopo has got the highest number, and also Eastern Cape. But what is comforting is that Eastern Cape has put systems in place to deal with their backlog. Now, Gauteng kicks in. They take the place of Eastern Cape in terms of backlog. It's because of the certain challenges that they also experience that they are also trying to resolve. Finally, I want to say, as much as we say 478,000 is children who are receiving foster grant, it doesn't suggest that other children who are orphaned, it means they are not serviced or not taken care. Remember, CSG also deals with some of the maternal orphaned children and also paternal orphaned children. Then they are not necessarily not in the foster care placement. So we have numbers that suggest that these are offense, and we have a maternal tracking system in the department. Our MNE is working with Home Affairs and Basic Education, where we have a system where we track our maternal offense, so that as they progress, we track them up to grade 12. That's why we have this agreement with NASFAS that those that are in our system and are maternal offense and are in a CSG and foster care, they already not screened twice for NASFAS. They get money and they go to tertiary institution for them to advance their education. Shirley, I think you can deal with the legal questions and then we'll be moving it and complete.
I think in this round of questions there were no legal issues raised. It was more comments on the progress on the foster cases.
Honourable Sango was something short, and then Honourable Wilson, anyone you understand? And then I'm going to close with the clerk and just answer and close. And just do a summary, and just speak to certain rules. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. This was a leftover from the first time I was asking questions, and I forgot about it. It has to do with the lapsing of the child grant. I thought I would take advantage of the legal people being here, where it says the foster grant lapses. One of the things that make it lapse is the death of the foster parent. I just wanted to know what happens to the child, during that time, and when does the child find another foster person and then restart the application, or what happens? I just see that gap with the child being.
Thank you, Chair. Just two issues. One specifically is our relationship in terms of foster grants with the Home Affairs Department. We're at the time of the year now where we're starting to get phone calls from all sorts of parents who are fostering children, who have been unable to get copies of IDs and documents to enter children into school for next year. When we speak to Home Affairs, one of the stories we get is that because the social workers are not submitting the documentation. What are we doing around that specifically? And secondly, amongst letters that we are getting from complainants around foster issues, they are submitting letters to us that are signed by, one of them was a psychiatric social worker, the other one was a psychologist social worker. I think we need to be aware of this. Social workers are social workers. We don't have psychiatric social workers. We don't have psychologist social workers. And they use this as a means to bolster their position or their authority. It's something that must be dealt with. Social workers are social workers. They are not psychiatrists. They are not psychologists. They're not statutory. They don't have statutory titles. This is more a case of the department to be aware, not particularly to respond to. And we can send copies of such correspondence. Thank you.
I just want to comment on the issue of the process and prioritization, because it kept on coming on the answering. But I think, Chair, we seated here, we all know on the issue of the legal, I'll be on the issue of the legal reform. I think we all know what is the process that is supposed to happen. But if the process that is supposed to be happening is taking a long time from the people who are supposed to initiate it, that's where we have got a problem. Look, the reforms that are here, they moved from the fourth term of parliament. And by the look of things, now we are on a fifth term, and which is almost going to the end, but we're still lagging behind in terms of the legal reforms. Then it's a problem. It is a problem, because where I'm seated, it simply means if we have not concluded, well, it doesn't matter how big it's what we want to reform. If we have not started the process, we have not concluded it now, it's going to take about 10 years.
because parliamentarians will be coming next in the sixth parliament, will still have to acclimatize themselves about the processes that have been left behind in the fifth parliament, like we did ourselves, because the reforms were coming as far as 2011, which was another term of parliament. But we are in another term of parliament. Apparently, we have not done anything where we are seated. It would look like that, because it would look as if we have not done anything to make sure. Yet, this issue of foster care grants, now that there is a court order, it becomes a priority. So a process and a prioritization is very important. When you plan, when you get something like this, you then reprioritize. Exactly what was done with SASA. With SASA, we had to reprioritize because of the court order. So I don't see why on this one, on this process again, even if the resources are limited, as they are limited, why can't we reprioritize it because of the fact that already it's seated there at the radar? And it affects the children that are more vulnerable. The more that they are explaining, the more the statistics comes out that there are about 18 million children who are eligible or who are children in South Africa. Then you ask yourself that now the system, SASA is, oh sorry, the department is able to help about 210, how many who are in the system now, the foster grant? 478. Then what then? What happens to those who are not in the system? Like you said, you are tracking them with scopen. A layman like myself or somebody who is there, who does not know anything about scopen, would ask, social pension system, would ask that I can't access this benefit that is there within government. And we are in government. How can we then make sure that we reform all of these systems that are really not favoring our people? We should be dealing with that. That's very important, that's very critical. Because the issue of social grants is a priority of ANC, where I'm coming from, the party that is in government. We should be moving with speed in terms of dealing with the reforms. That's why I'm saying all this legal whatever, what is important on the table, the masses would want to see those children who are outside the system of foster grants benefiting. But we keep on saying, this is going to take, the process is long. Who does the process? It's us. Who does the process? We have to speed up the process. I would really want to see, Minister, that while we are still have got an opportunity of being in this term, to speed up this process, because all of us, we are already having a sense of what is happening outside. As parliamentarians sitting here, we need to make sure that the law that has to deal with this, the law that needs to be amended, or whether you start afresh, whatever way, we need to make sure that we deal with that. We can't be here for 5 years and then we say we have already done one amendment. That's really not correct. It can't be correct. While there's still a huge law that needs to be either repealed or either amended, because we have seen the gap. We ourselves, parliamentarians, we have seen that there is a gap on the foster grant system. Then why can't we initiate the legislations that have to deal with that gap and make sure that we close the gap? So we appeal, Minister, let them sit down and look at this thing. We reprioritize them, we prioritize, and then we deal with this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I haven't heard my response for the measurements for children outside South Africa documentation. Thank you.
Minister, would you like to speak first? All right, Connie.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'll try to be brief. I think on the issue of privatization, we take note, but I need to indicate that we do have the Third Amendment drafted ready. As I indicated, there were
voted on by the leader of government business to say, let's push the policy. And the policy is currently going through a approval process of cabinet through clusters, and it takes almost 5 months because it sits once a month. Each committee sits once a month. So that's why cabinet will consider it early next year. And then the amendments will then kick in, also go to cabinet so that they can be introduced within this system of parliament so that they are considered early next year also. The issue of home affairs, I think my colleague will assist me with that one in terms of why are they saying social workers must submit, because they act on the order of the court. Once they receive a court order that says a child is placed under a certain family, those documents are used to produce or to issue identification certificate, identification documents. What else? We will attend to that. If we can just have one example later, then we will deal with it, because we don't have those categories. They are not allowed. Even on specializations, they are not there.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will start with the transfer issue that was raised when the beneficiary dies. We have made an amendment in terms of the second amendment of the Children's Act to make that transfer possible, especially for the Section 159, but for the Section 186, because that is a long-term placement, therefore such ones have to go back to court so that at least there is a proper screening and comprehensive assessment for this prospective new parent that should take over. But for the short term, which is Section 159, the provision is made in the Second Amendment, which has just been promulgated early this year and gazetted as well just a month ago, the Second Amendment. The non-South African children, in terms of the Children's Act, we actually say that all children in the country that are in need of care and protection should be treated as such, because they need to have access to services. However, when it comes to the legislation across government departments, I will use an example, Home Affairs, they're very strict with their Immigration Act, because for them to issue a birth certificate, it's something that now will compromise the population register. So what we are negotiating with them is to have some sort of identification for this a non-South African child, so that that child could actually have access to the whole comprehensive child protection services.
Thanks a lot. Are we completed? I would like to close the meeting. Are we completed? Let's go to one already.
Okay, thanks. In fact, I need a clarity, or maybe the minister needs to advise. With this problem that we see now, we are having, is it possible, Minister, that maybe we can take this issue, maybe to have a project team that will deal with this issue, that will come and report to the committee every time, like what we did with SASA, so that we need to know what is happening, because with the SASA issue, every time you will come to the committee and tell us that this is what we did or whatever. So, but again, then through the office of the minister, if it is possible that treasury can be called, maybe to fund this thing, because it's a huge problem. It's not a problem only of social development, but it's an interdepartment problem. So if we can put it only to social development, we will be failing as a government and as a party in power. So maybe the minister needs us to assist us on this, because one needs to say, on the issue of human rights, let us focus on that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Why don't we agree that I don't know how we are going to do this, but after the 7th of December,
maybe have a meeting to give a progress report. And then in the meantime, we are going to form a technical team that has social development, justice, home affairs, and health, yes. So that we work together on this issue. But also, I think when we come to that meeting, we must maybe bring provinces so that you get responses from them. One other thing that we've done is to say to them, look, take this and deal with it provincially, because we think, and they were actually shocked, because when something is not directed to you, you tend to relax. But when we said they must take up the matter on their own, go to court on their own, the pace changed. And then, which goes with the question that was asked of what action do we take when people do not go to court, when people do not prepare proper reports, because the reports also have put us into problems. And then, because a policy is there and the amendments are there, I may be off the camera, have a meeting with the committee, make our presentation so that this goes simultaneously with the court processes, because at the end of the day, the speaker will have to table the amendments to the National Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Minister. I think this was a very interesting meeting, and many questions were asked. But what I want our members to remember, that the Portfolio Committee is an extension of Parliament, and there are rules, and one or two rules we overstep. You know, when we interfere with the dignity of someone, it's the rules in the 80, the 80 rules. I think the one was 82, and then just going to 84, and then just reflections, 85. So let us remember that, and then also speak through the chair. Minister really rounded up a bit. We do need a second meeting, and it was taken down. But I think what's important, she expressed the feeling that we have to share responsibility. Because the first question that was asked was on the budget. And we know a lot of virements are being made, and we are against the virements. So let us look at the budget itself that is important, you know, as a committee, because we passed the budget and there were appeals made. Then we do need a joint meeting as a committee with the departments ministers mentioned, like health, home affairs, social development. Education is another, higher and basic education. You know, all the departments, of course, here is an integrated approach we have to look at. And then when it comes to the Intergovernmental Relationship Act, we have to look at that collaboration. Of course, it was brought up by the members too. You know, it was in the very first question. So let us look at how do we collaborate, because the same was done within SASA. Then when it comes to the social workers, you said that you're going to look at the supply and demand,
and that process will be ready by March 2018. So we need to have that, because if we know what's the supply and demand, then a person can look at more resources and plan properly. I spoke to the budget. I spoke to vitamins. I think really those are things that came up while we were, you know, while we were debating, you know, what should be done. And then I think too, like Minister spoke about, we should have a meeting to get a statutory work that is done by NPOs. So I think that should be something that we'll look at. But what I would like to do now, I would like to thank our members for all advices given to the department, questions for clarification that will help the department as they go forward. And I would like to thank the department for this presentation. People may say it was bad, you know, it's going bad within the department. But I must say there's a lot of progress, and we as a committee will have to look at where resources are needed. Thank you. Meeting is closed.
Thank you.